A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy New Year and happy Saturday to everybody out there. I'm Dan Hansen.
I'm Betsy Thompson. You are really peppy this morning.
I am always peppy in the mornings.
But no, you are not.
This one a little more so because I've just come back from vacation.
Oh, I thought it was all the coffee you drank.
There is a lot of coffee that I've had, but it's mainly vacation. I had time at home. We rested, played games with the kids, went to the movies, did all kinds of fun stuff. Snowblowed the driveway, shoveled, raked the roof off. It was awesome.
Right. Everybody else did very similar things, I think.
Tons of snow.
So in amongst all of these things that you had fun doing, did you also enjoy your new bathroom?
Yes, I did.
I've been dying to know.
It's like a brand new room.
Well, yeah, it should be. Now,
the floor, anyway.
What we're talking about is
the toilet is glorious.
More than I needed to know.
Charge admission to see the toilet.
Children, you have to pay to go in there and use it. No, what Dan and I are talking about is we put a new floor and a new toilet in his bathroom. It needed a little bit of updating. And this is something that we were a little bit uncomfortable with. Not going to lie. Yeah, a little nervous about these things. Weren't really sure what we were getting into. But, you know, we soldiered on and made it through. And today we're going to talk about that project, tell you some of the things we used, and tell you some of the things we learned that can really be applied to any project you do.
Also, as we mentioned earlier, we've had tons of snow and really, really frigid temperatures.
Yes, we have.
And so later today, we're going to talk about some of the things that we should be doing as pet owners to make sure that our pets are safe in this almost Arctic tundra that we find ourselves basically living in right now.
Yeah, it is so crazy cold out there. And while I am a northern girl, I've spent a lot of time inside recently, mostly because of the wind. And this is always bad because I start to notice things. And I have been noticing
things. Things that need to be fixed?
Yes. Yep. So I noticed that my cabinets that are stained and varnished are starting to look a little worse for wear. You know, where the handles are, things like that, stains starting to wear off. Well, I'm going to tell everyone about a really simple touch-up that most people don't know about. That's in about 15 minutes.
Right. But first, it is the start of the new year. And what normally happens at this time of year are resolutions. Everybody's got resolutions.
And everybody has the same one, generally.
Normally, it's the same one. It's losing weight.
Yep.
Everybody wants to shed pounds. You know, I remember doing this years back, and I remember my wife did that. She got a Jillian Michaels DVD that she was going to work through, and it really did. It worked, but my wife complained about how brutal Jillian was.
She is.
And I thought that she was just really, really stretching this, because I am super fit.
And you tried it,
didn't
you?
Yes, I did. Oh. And I made it through it.
Really?
It was grueling.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, I have to be honest, I was going to make this into a I can't do that. I made it through it, and barely. Uh-huh. And I remember collapsing on the floor in the living room, and the kids were yelling and cheering and laughing. And I just had my hand in the air, and I was pumping the air and saying, I did it. I did it. Uh-huh. And I heard Jillian Michaels say, that's it for the warm-up. Now let's get going. And I thought, you are kidding me. That was the warm-up, and I'm almost dead. So I bailed on it.
Well, that happens. And this is a home improvement show, so we're going to put a little home improvement spin on
weight loss.
On weight loss, yes. Because our homes, over the years, collect pounds. We don't realize it, but all of these things kind of build and pile up over the years.
Clutter, little jobs that need to be done, scratches in woodwork, your cupboard doors.
Yes, the wallpaper that's just peeling, and we'll take care of it later.
All of these things in and of themselves aren't big jobs necessarily.
Yep.
But when you see them as a whole, when you look back, it's just like when you've eaten just little bits of ice cream and little Snickers bars. And then like 4 months later, you look and you can't see your feet and you think, what has happened?
Right.
How do I get this fixed?
Yeah.
Well, the same thing with our homes. We look at these jobs. I don't have days and days to do this. How am I going to fix this?
Well, that's what everyone thinks. They think that that's what exactly what's going to happen. It's just overwhelming to see. So there are a couple of options to deal with this. The first option is that you just say, okay, fine, I am going to spend hours and hours and hours every night and all weekend long for the next 2 months doing all the stuff that I should have done before.
And who makes that work? Nobody makes that work.
No,
there's
we
a
get
handful
sick of
people
it.
That will. But usually you get sick of it and you bail and you don't get your work accomplished.
Exactly.
The other way to go would be to set up a schedule that you actually can follow.
Right.
Something that you can do in smaller sections and then just extend it over a longer period of time and get the work done that way. That's what we're recommending.
Right.
We're calling it a 15-minute, I don't even know that we've given it a name, but I'm going to give it a name.
Okay.
15-minute home improvement regimen. I don't know that that really rolls off the tongue. Basically,
not
it's
so
15
much.
minutes of work, and then you quit and go have fun.
Right. It's a really great way to get all of these little things done. Now, all you have to do is pick a time of the night or during the day, if you're home all day, that you can spend 15 to 20 minutes doing little parts of jobs to slowly whittle them away.
Right. For me, it's right after I get home from work and right before dinner. There's usually about 15 minutes
right.
or so.
Yep.
And everybody else is working. I'll just go do some of this work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done, I'm ready to have dinner and then go on with the rest of my night. It's almost painless.
Right.
I almost don't even notice that I was working.
Yes. Now, the key to all of this is to get a timer and set the timer for the 15 or 20 minutes, whatever you decide to do.
And I know this sounds really, really corny and goofball because everybody that I tell this to looks at me like I'm crazy. Oh, you get a timer out, do you?
Yeah, they think you're a child.
They do.
Yes.
And maybe it will only work for me. But this has worked so well in my home, I want to recommend it to everybody. And
right.
the timer is really important. And the timer is important because it lets your brain know and tells you that there's an end to my job and my working tonight.
Right.
When you look at a big job, half the struggle with it is mm-hmm. not knowing how long it's going to take to get through it.
Right.
I don't want to spend 2 hours doing this. But with a timer ticking down, you know mm-hmm. you've got 15 minutes and then it's over. And so you set your timer, work for 15 minutes as mm-hmm. fast as you can. Safely.
Yes.
And then when the timer goes off, finish up what you're doing, clean up your tools, put them away, and go on with the fun part of your night.
Right. Working past that, whatever time you end up setting, just makes it seem like it's a monumental task because you can't see the finish line.
Right.
So
if
you
you're
have
working,
to stop.
Right. Don't work to completion of a job necessarily.
Nope.
Don't worry about not getting done with it. You know, you'll get it the next
right.
night. Just
yep.
get it in little pieces, and that will allow you to keep going
mm-hmm.
night after night, week after week.
Right.
If you push it too far past the timer, you're going to quit doing this,
yeah.
and you're not going to get the stuff accomplished.
Right.
The little chunks is what's going to make it work. So the
right.
timer is really important, and it's really fun because it makes it into a game. It really does. You
I
work
know.
Really fast. You laughed at me, so I assumed you were laughing at me.
I'm laughing with you.
I have such tender skin.
Yes.
My emotions.
Your poor little soul.
Anyway, the timer makes it into a fun game.
It does.
So let's just give an example of what we're talking about so
yeah.
people can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you've got a room to repaint.
Yes, because this is common and people get overwhelmed with a repaint project and the tendency is to skip all that prep work because it just seems like so much to do
well,
before you get
why,
to the painting.
That is why prep work is skipped.
Right.
I think that's
yeah.
probably the
yep.
biggest reason is you jump into a project. I don't want to spend 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to get rolling my paint on and stuff
right.
like that. These things can't be that important. I'll skip them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do it the way we're recommending,
right.
like if you've got a project coming up, you're going to paint that room on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Monday night, for example,
yep.
come home and maybe you take your 15 minutes and get all the pictures and wall hangings off the wall.
Right.
If you've got extra time, go and fill any nail holes that might be there with spackling.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you mark some of the areas. You'd mark them with a pencil or something like that
yep.
that might need to be spackled or patched in later if you don't have time to get to it that night.
Right.
Then the next night, you come back and finish with the spackling, any
mm-hmm.
spackling that you'd have to do. Maybe scuff sand your woodwork if you're going to be painting it on
right.
Saturday. Get the scuff sanding done now.
Mm-hmm. Then the next night, you can go back and you can sand all those patches that you did. And the following night, maybe taping. So just 15 minutes every night. And by Saturday, all of your prep work is done and you haven't had to wait for walls to dry. You haven't had to wait for spackle to dry. It's just naturally
it's
happened.
It's all been very easy. And
yep.
you've shaved. It's taken you, you know, 5 days at
mm-hmm.
15 minutes each. You're looking at an hour and 15 minutes.
Right.
But you've probably shaved 2 to 3 hours off your prep work because you've eliminated all that waiting time.
Yes.
It will get you moving into your project very quickly on Saturday. Sure, that's going to stretch into. That's not going to be a 15-minute repaint. But you've got everything out of the way. You're ready to go.
Right.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
You can use it for any project in your home. I love doing it, like when my workroom gets really messy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I look at that and I think, oh, cleaning this is going to take me forever. Why
right.
wasn't I smarter when I was
mm-hmm.
working?
Yeah.
I never am smart when I'm working. But I've got this huge mess. But if you take it in 15-minute chunks, It goes really fast, and it's almost painless.
Right. The best thing about all of this is, with this regimen, you can start crossing all those little things off your list that you haven't really wanted to tackle because it's so overwhelming. They'll be done in no time.
Right. Use it for decluttering, for organizing, for cleaning, for painting. Any project you want to tackle, this will work. You'll be amazed. Just try it. Take yes. 15 minutes for a week, every night for a week, and just tackle one project that you've been dreading.
Right.
And I guarantee, because I'm Dan Hansen, and
I guarantee, you guarantee stuff.
When the week's over, you're going to be amazed at the results.
Absolutely. Now, we all know that painted woodwork can be touched up when a Tonka truck gets run into it. But what happens when you scratch up stained and varnished woodwork?
Freak out.
No, that is the wrong answer. There are simple touch-up tricks that will almost make it look like it never happened. We're going to tell you what those are when we come back. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, I've got to say that Sunday this past, instead of tomorrow.
Thank goodness you clarified.
Yes, this was in the past, not the future. I was cornered in church by some concerned people who were actually concerned about you. They told me I needed to go easier on you on the radio. Now, I just want...
That was my evil laugh, by the way.
I know it was. I want you to let everybody out there know whatever I dish out, you have coming.
Yes. I dish it out just because you dish it out, so...
But we're even.
Yes.
I'm not picking on you.
No.
You don't go home and cry into your pillow, right?
Oh, absolutely not. You were the one who was afraid of me when I started.
I cry into my pillow at home because I'm a wuss.
Yes.
All right. So now that we've cleared up the fact that you're not a victim.
No, not at all.
I'm the victim.
Right.
Exactly. That's the way I like it.
Okay. So now, speaking of victims, I had a woman who came into the store a few months ago, and she was a victim of too much stuff building up over time in her kitchen. She all of a sudden had the opportunity to sell her home. And she
should have been doing the 15-minute regimen we were just talking about.
Exactly.
But she wasn't, like most of us aren't.
Right. So she looks around, and the kitchen cabinets need something done with them, and she didn't know what. So she brought in one of her doors, and she said, "What do I do? I don't have the time to strip these and stain and revarnish, and I don't want to go through painting.
Which is not a bad project, by the way.
It is not.
But not in that situation.
But when time is of the essence, you really, you know, for her, she didn't have time to do that. So she said, "What do I do?" And lucky for her, there's a simple solution that
people don't know
about. Lucky
for her, Betsy was there. Her cape billowing,
yes.
The majestic music playing in the background, your hands on your hip as you address this. Tell us what you found.
Well, first of all, I would like to point out that she did all of the right things by bringing a door with her, because that was the key to me helping her. So I told her that gel stain is the perfect fix for something like
that. So why don't you explain gel stain very quickly?
Gel stain is a heavy-bodied stain, and you can actually turn the can upside down and the stain stays in there, and it's heavily pigmented. It's made for things like fiberglass doors, and you can actually put it on primed metal and things like that. So you don't have to have it on wood that it can really soak into in order to get that color.
It has a little bit of a surface bond.
Exactly. That's why it's perfect for things like this.
So we'll walk through how you do this and where it works and where it doesn't in just a second. But with this customer that you dealt with, what was her end result?
She was
amazed. I can't imagine that it was a bad result because you're telling the story and you're the superhero.
Well, no, because what you have to remember with something like this, you're touching up stains, so you have to have realistic expectations. Chances are very likely it will not look brand new. It will not completely disappear. It's just going to mask the problem that you have there. For her, we got very lucky, and she said it looked like a whole new kitchen, and she didn't want to move anymore.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was fantastic. It's always nice to get
our
feedback.
Junk that looked bad. Once it was all cleaned up and ready to go, we look
exactly.
Okay.
So, you know, results are varying, but, you know, just have realistic expectations for
the
this
big
project.
Big thing is, don't freak out. If
no.
you've got scratched woodwork, scratched cupboard doors, or doors that are looking worn, there could be a solution.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show today. And let's get to that. How does somebody now, they're looking at their kitchen right now, or they're looking at their wood woodwork or their trim or furniture or whatever.
Right.
And they're seeing some areas that, boy, I wish I could blend that away.
Mm-hmm.
What's the steps? What do we want to do?
The first thing you need to do is come into the store and preferably bring whatever with you that we need to match the stain to and get the correct color of stain. And then decide, sometimes you need a clear coat to go over top of it, varnish, polyurethane, whatever, and sometimes you don't.
Larger areas you're going to need to protect that stain. If you're just dealing with scratches and things like that, you know, I've done this with trim where a dog from a previous owner had scratched up some trim, you know, and it looked really bad. And I didn't want to replace the trim at that particular moment. I just wanted to cover it up and make it look better, put stain on that, blended it right away. I didn't need to put a varnish over top of it because it was just such little areas.
Exactly.
But it looked great.
Yes.
Completely hid it.
Right.
Now, if you have a bigger area, like on a cupboard door, you might have to actually varnish the whole door or parts of it.
Right. The rail or just the center panel. The thing you want to make sure, again, this is why you bring a door, we want to get that clear coat as close to what you have as possible. Now, you may have started with a semi-gloss on there, but
Years back.
But you may now be down to a satin. So bringing that in, we can help you get the closest polyurethane or varnish to match what you've already got. Now, as far as actual application goes, if you're working in the kitchen or bathroom cabinets, the first thing that you need to do before anything else is to
get your snacks out.
It's
not to get the snacks on the counter ready to go, because you don't want to start varnishing the snack door and not be able to get in. This
is why
I have weight resolutions. I resolve to lose weight and all I can think about are snacks.
Right.
I hate New Year's.
Well, okay.
So anyway, what are we supposed to do? Clean?
The first thing you need to do is clean, because this is going to help you identify where the problem areas are in the stain. Maybe it's just gunk on there that made it look like you needed to touch up that area, and maybe you really don't. So a really good cleaning is going to give you a great start to this project. Now, once you've done that and everything is obviously dried off, then you just take the stain on a rag and you just buff it in. You just need a little bit of stain. You buff it in there, and we can show you in the store how to do that.
Right. It's not difficult. It may be sounding difficult because Betsy's explaining it.
Right.
No, it's very simple. And you're just letting that color settle in and start to mask some of these damaged areas or the areas that need the color.
Exactly. You just work it until it's blended into everything around it. Then if you are going to put a clear coat over top, you need to give that stain at least 48 hours to dry before you put anything on top of there.
Now, the big question here is this fix right for you? Like I said, a lot of us are probably looking at our cabinets right now and trying to figure out, maybe this is a way I can get these touched up and looking good again, or my trim or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is this right for you? Well, the thing is, it's going to work best on oak.
Right.
So oak cabinets,
yep.
It's going to work really well on. And that's because of the natural grain, the breaks in the texture, and then the open pores that accept the stain a little bit easier.
Right. The things it's not going to work as well on are things like pine, where it's really, really porous, or something that's really, really smooth. Something like maple, plus maple is really light, so that adds another little bit of a caveat to that. And cherry's another one that's really smooth, and you don't have those natural breaks like you do in oak.
Right, but if they're small scratches or something like that, this is going to work good on almost any wood.
Right.
And that's using a stain, like we mentioned.
Yep.
Or even if it's small enough, there are such a thing as a stain pen.
Yeah, those work great for small touch-ups like that. If it's just a scrape or a small gouge, you know, a lot of people look and say, I don't want to buy a whole ton of gel stain just to touch up that little scratch. So the stain pen works just great for that.
Basically, what you need to do is just bring a sample to any Repcolite or Port City Paint store.
Right.
Explain what you're working with, what you're hoping to achieve, and we'll walk you through the best way to get there.
Right. Now, coming up after the break, we have all survived our Arctic blast that has happened this past week. But how have our pets fared? It's been a little cold for them, even though they're wearing fur. We'll tell you everything you need to know to get them ready for the next Arctic blast. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, we've talked about it already a couple of times. We've mentioned it about how cold it has been the last couple of days.
Frigid.
Couple of weeks.
Yes.
It's been a long time of cold.
Yes.
And that's all right. It's winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all right because I got a really cool Christmas present this year.
Yeah.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Tell everyone what your Christmas present was because you won't shut up.
I won't shut up about my Christmas present because it's awesome.
I know.
My son bought me the extreme cold weather leather mittens that we talked about on this very radio show.
And you strongly hinted about children, I would like these. Children, are you listening?
I was obnoxious about my hinting, but he picked up on it, bought me these mittens, and they are the warmest mittens I have ever used.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes again, just because I think they were $40 or so.
Yeah.
I can't believe for that price I got
these. So you're recommending them.
They are really cool.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're happy with them. Now we should stop talking about your paws and get to what we're really talking about, and that's the paws of our four-legged friends.
Oh, good job. Good transition, Betsy.
Why, thank you.
My paws to their paws.
Yeah, exactly. But in this case, their paws are more important because usually they're open to the elements, unlike yours in those cozy mittens that you have. So a couple concerns when it comes to the paws of our pets. The combination of ice and snow and the salt and other ice melts that we use are really bad. You just take one of them individually and it's bad, but you combine them and it's even worse. So you can get the ice balls in dogs' fur quite often between their pads. Cats, it doesn't happen quite so much. And then the ice melt alone is bad on any pads. It chaps them and makes them dried out, can make them crack and things like that. But then when your pets go and lick that salt or ice melt off, they're actually ingesting that and it can kill them. Cats, you know, clean themselves by licking their paws, so if they have that nasty stuff on there, they're ingesting it. And dogs try to get those ice balls out from their paws and they're still ingesting it. So it's bad all the way around.
Now, a couple of things before we move on. The ice melt thing.
Mm-hmm.
When that's in the snow, in their paws, you know, they got snow in their paws.
Right.
And then if there's ice melt on there or the salt on there, that can actually burn.
Yeah,
in a bad case scenario, it can heat up and burn their paws. So that's a concern.
Right.
And also, like you mentioned, how dangerous it is. We had a dog years back growing up, an outdoor dog.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just one day, he had died. He was healthy.
Right.
We didn't really know what was going on. Weeks later, we started putting things together, and I think it was that he was licking up all the all the ice where the salt had been down.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't clue into it and didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, these things are concerns, and there are a number of solutions, though. And that's what we want to focus on, just to make you aware of it, because I'm a new pet owner. We've got a new dog.
Yes.
And it's a whole new world for me. You know, we had the house when the kids were little. We had it all kid-proofed. Now we got to go back and dog-proof it. Now we've got the outdoors to deal with.
Right.
And I didn't realize winter was such a scary thing. You know, Maggie is an indoor dog, so I kind of figured we were okay. But no, some of this stuff is stuff we've got to pay attention to.
Right. So one of the solutions, especially for dogs, I don't know that I've ever seen it for cats, but for dogs, get them some dog booties. Now, this is not a fashion statement. Everyone thinks that, oh, you just want to put that on your dog so they're fashionable. No, it's actually to give them traction when they're walking, and it's to keep that ice from forming in their paws and to keep that ice melt or salt off of their paws so they don't dry out and crack. So they're actually functional.
Now, if they won't wear the little booties, do I have to call them booties?
That's what they're called.
Does it feel like I've I don't know. I feel less manly, and I already struggle.
Dog boots?
Yeah, dog boots. If they won't wear their boots, what do you do?
It is hard to get dogs to wear them. They like to take them off. So the best thing to do then is to make sure that fur between their pads is clipped really short. Now, you don't want to completely get rid of it because that actually acts as an insulator and a protectant. So just cut it really short. And then there's a great product out there. It's called Musher's Secret, and you actually put it on the pads of their paws and in that fur between their toes and things before they go outside, and it just seals everything up and it will actually stop the ice balls from forming in there.
It is really cool. I laugh because we bought some. It's about $20 on Amazon. That's how we found it. Maybe you can find it at pet stores.
Yeah, some pet stores have it, some don't.
But either way, not very expensive. We got it. We put it on, and Andrew, who's Maggie is his dog officially.
Yep.
Andrew, my son, is smelling it saying, "Dad, can I use that as chapstick? Because I like how that smells." I said, no, this is for Maggie's feet, man.
Well, it is all natural products, so it doesn't matter if they lick it. You know, it's not bad for them to do that, so it's really not that bad.
Definitely something to think about.
Yep. Another thing for dogs or cats is to make sure you rinse and dry their paws when they've been outside. Make sure that you have a spray bottle, perhaps a towel, right by the door so that when they come inside, you can get off all of that salt. You can get the ice balls out of dogs' paws and have them cleaned up so that they're not ingesting all of that stuff that they pick up outside. Now, let's just talk real quickly about ice melt, because while a lot of them say that they are pet safe, they really aren't. A lot of them will say that you should keep them out of reach of children. That means it's really not safe for pets. They will say that you shouldn't ingest it or you shouldn't get it on your skin. If it says that, then it's not safe for pets either.
Right. So read those warnings. Check the ingredients. Right. If it's got sodium chloride in it, keep looking. If it has no list of ingredients, nothing.
Keep looking.
Keep looking. That's a really bad sign.
Right.
Basically, there are good ones out there that will be safe for your pets. And yeah, you can use that on your driveway. We know the city's not going to use that on the roads.
No.
But at least on your driveway in your area, if you do need to use an ice melt, you can be using a pet safe one. You can find a good one out there. If you don't see one in the store, call your vet. They will be able to make a recommendation for you.
Absolutely. Another thing that we real quickly want to touch on, because people don't think about this, pets can actually get hypothermia and frostbite in the winter. People think that because they're covered in fur that that can't possibly happen. But when it gets down to sub-zero temperatures and the wind chill is what it has been, they really can get those things.
So definitely make sure that any outdoor pets have a good warm shelter. You know, a dog igloo with a safe heated mat and hay will work for dogs and cats. There actually are heated mats that are outdoor rated.
Yeah, and they have a steel cable or coil around the electrical thing so that dogs can't chew through it, because we know that's always a concern.
Right, and it depends on your animal whether this is right for them or not, but that is an option. But with the doghouse, make sure that the floor is actually raised up a few inches off the ground.
Yep.
Make sure it's covered with straw or whatever, blankets. Also, make sure that the doghouse is large enough for the pet to turn around in, but not a whole lot larger than that.
Yeah.
Bigger, cavernous and spacious may seem wonderful and nice, but it's easy to lose a lot of body heat that way. And also just make sure that they've got unfrozen water available all the time. Basically, use common sense out there. If you're bundled up and still cold, realize that your pet is probably cold too. So keep your walks shorter. Watch for signs that ice is building up in their paws when they're outside playing. If you move the pet to the garage, make sure that you clean up and remove things like mouse traps or poison that might be out there.
Yes.
And you might not think about it because the dog normally isn't in there. If you're going to put the dog in there, make sure you take some time to dog-proof that garage to keep them safe.
Right. Now, it's time for a break, but when we come back, surprise, surprise, we're talking about something else of Dan's that's brand new, his toilet. And of course, we will tell you why you should care. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, I moved into my house, I think it was about 4 years or so ago. And I've got a list of projects, things that I want to do. But number one on that list, and has been for a long time, was the bathroom. What we call in our house the blue bathroom, because everything in there is blue.
Yes.
The tub, the walls, everything.
Well, let's clarify. It's not like baby blue or bright blue. It's kind of
robin's egg blue.
Yes, it is. Typically
like
blue, as I like to call it, to make it sound a little more high class.
So I had these things that I wanted to fix. The floor in there was pretty bad. That was one of my main
issues. Pretty bad? Let's go with hideous and outdated.
Are you seriously going to call me out on the radio and make fun of my bathroom floor?
Yes, I am.
It was really bad. It was hard to even clean it, because even when we cleaned it, it didn't look clean.
I used to have that floor in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was hideous and outdated.
It's a peel and stick vinyl floor, little tiles.
Yep.
And anyway, we wanted that out. And the toilet was super tiny sized.
Yeah, it was for elementary school students. It was great for your elementary schooler.
It was, but for any normal-sized guests that we'd have over, we'd always hear like a scream emit from the bathroom. Oh, they tried to sit down on the toilet, and it was like 4 inches lower than they expected.
Right.
Anyway, all those things had to be fixed, and it wasn't a big deal. You know, I knew what I needed to do. New floor, a new toilet, that's a great start.
Right.
But honestly, I was a little nervous to tackle the project, and that's surprising because, yes, as I like to tell everybody, I've got a home improvement show. This should be no big deal to me. But the thing is, we're learning as we go.
Yes, we are not experts. We have this show, but
that's
we are not
experts.
That's
why we bring experts on. We know paint, but the rest of the stuff, we're learning. We're getting better.
Yes, we are.
But anyway, that's what we want to talk about today, is the project itself, the things we learned, but most of all, just to give you the confidence to get out there and do something that you maybe aren't comfortable with, because we did it.
Right.
A couple weeks ago, put the new floor in, put the new toilet in. We have great results. yeah, we learned some things along the way.
We stumbled a little bit.
But that was the fun of the project.
Right.
You know, we really made great strides in that room. Got a little ways to go, but it's a great start.
And next time we do it, it'll be a whole lot easier because we'll know exactly where we went wrong.
And that's what we want to talk about right now, is just the project itself and the things that we learned along the way to help you with whatever project you might want to tackle. Whatever project is on the top of your list, these things will help you get it accomplished the way you want it to. And the first thing is to just make sure you start by choosing the right materials. In my instance, it was the bathroom floor and the toilet.
Right.
So you got to make sure you start with the right stuff. I did a bathroom not too long ago at the other house, and I put an MDF beadboard on the walls.
Yep.
And I thought this would be fine. Once I painted it, everything would be fine.
Right.
It turned out every little nail hole, moisture would get behind it and cause the thing to pucker. I used the wrong material.
Uh-huh.
I put in tons of money, tons of effort, tons of work, and I had to rip it all out later because it just looked terrible.
And that's depressing.
Right. The right materials matter. So research, ask questions, find experts, and get their recommendations. You know, in our instance, we had the floor.
Yes.
That was a big deal.
Yep.
So we talked to the folks at Johnson Carpet One in Granville, and they recommended a product called CoreTech Plus.
Yeah.
Now, it's a vinyl wood floor. Mm-hmm. It's a planking that's completely waterproof.
And that's what you need in a bathroom,
exactly.
Not just water-resistant, waterproof.
This is a great product, and we want to spend just a minute talking about it because it might be the product that you need in whatever area you've, you know, a problem area
that you're struggling with. Mudroom.
Right. All of those areas. It's great because it's waterproof, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a dishwasher overflows, no big deal,
right.
Except for all the other problems.
Yeah.
But the floor itself is going to be okay.
Right.
But it's also easy to install. That's the thing that we wanted. I wanted something that I could put in. I didn't want to pay an installer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this floor will do. One of the other great things about it is that it doesn't telegraph, which means a lot of the other floors that you can get, if the subfloor isn't perfectly smooth, whatever is down there, the pattern will come through the vinyl and you'll see it. You'll see cracks, you'll see bumps, things like that. This doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So you still want to get the floor as clean as possible, but it doesn't have to be as pristine as some of the other products
out there.
Which
is good if you're ripping out an old floor because you never quite know what you're going to come in contact with underneath there.
Right. It's definitely something to look into if you're thinking about putting a floor in and you like that wood look. They also have a tile look, don't they?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
They sure do.
Now, when it came to toilets, I thought this was going to be a no-brainer. I'll just go get a toilet. Turns out there are a million different things you need to know.
We spent a lot of time discussing options in the toilet aisle.
Oh,
we probably look like weirdos.
Yeah. You have to have the certain flush. And so I talked to my wife. What are we looking for?
Right.
What do we want? What height do we want?
How many golf balls can you put down
there? Yeah. She wanted something taller, you know, so now my feet dangle.
I was going to say, because she is taller and she was sick of your child-sized toilet.
But yeah, there's all these considerations. So we dug, we researched, and we found exactly what we wanted.
Right.
Bought that. So that's the first thing. Whatever project you're tackling, do the research ahead of time. Find the right materials. Get the right stuff. Pay the money to get the good products so that you, when you go through all the work, you've got great results.
Right. We're talking about Dan's bathroom makeover on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. And we just covered the first thing you need to do, which is get the right materials to start with. Now, you need to take a little bit of time before you actually jump into a project like this. We did it the week before, just kind of assessing what's going on, what you're going to have to do, what you need to prep before you actually start the project. We looked at the floor that you had peeled up a little bit to see what was underneath, what we were dealing with.
The existing floor.
Right.
We wanted to see how hard it was going to come up, what kind of time we had to allot for removing it.
What tools we might need.
Turned out it didn't come up as easy as I thought. We found we had to get a couple of different tools. Things like that. We also watched plenty of videos on YouTube about installing the floor.
Yes.
Which was great because we found a couple of other tools that I didn't think to amass ahead of time. But just do all that prep work ahead of time. Watch the videos. Make sure you're comfortable with the process so that when you're starting, the day that you start, you're not scrambling at that point trying to figure things out.
Right.
So pretty basic stuff there.
Yes.
But once you've done all of that, then it's time to get the right tools. Now, this is different
this is critical.
The right materials. The materials are things like the toilet and the floor.
Right.
The tools now are obviously the tools that you're going to need.
Right.
And we thought we had most of them, and I think I did.
Yeah, most of them we had on hand.
But we did, because of our prep work, realize that we needed flat pry bars.
Yeah, to get the old floor up.
Right. That made it way quicker than what I was going to do with a putty knife.
Oh, that would have taken weeks.
Would have taken a long time. So get the right tools, and like we mentioned, the flooring installation needed specific tapping blocks and things. And we found a kit that had everything in it.
Yeah, not expensive.
No,
by
not
any
at all.
Means.
But it would drive you insane if you didn't have it. I don't know that we could have done it if we didn't have those.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Tools.
I think you would have ruined the floor if you didn't have those tools.
One of the other tools that we didn't realize that we needed and didn't think about was a jam saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to putting the floor around mm-hmm. my door. Yep. And normally you would use a jam saw to undercut, you know, the jam and the trim so that you can slide the flooring right underneath there and get a nice fit.
Right.
We didn't have that.
No.
Once we got to that point, I realized what I needed.
Oh, crap.
And we had to make it work with, you know, a handsaw,
well,
which
and
was
it
complicated.
Took a lot of time, a lot of extra time that if we had the right tools, that's why it's critical that you get the right tools because it will save you time in the long run.
Exactly. So the point is, whatever project you're starting, give yourself that week ahead to prep and make notes about the different tools that you might have. Gather the tools, be ready to go. One of the other things that I was pretty proud that I thought of was a canvas drop cloth for the old toilet.
Yeah,
when I pulled the old toilet out, because I did that at the other house when I pulled the toilet out.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize the wax ring was so gross.
Oh, yeah.
I set it on the carpet.
Ew.
And yeah, I had a lot of work to clean that up. So
that's
this time,
so gross.
I had all the materials right on hand.
Right.
Once you've done all of that, really then it's time to start.
Right. And you need to make sure that you start early in the day on whatever day you're going to start this project and make sure that you give yourself enough time to complete the project. Don't set an unreasonable expectation as to when you're going to be done.
Well, and one of the things that we run into, we see this at RepcoLite with deck projects in particular.
Yeah.
People will tackle a deck project in the summer, the day of or the week before a graduation open house.
Yes.
And so if everything does not go perfectly, the stress escalates because now you're not going to have this deck done on time.
Right.
Don't do a project like this with a deadline like that.
Right.
You know, if you've got guests coming over for the weekend, don't do your bathroom floor the Saturday before they get there, you know, a couple hours
before
they get there.
No, because there's usually something that's going to pop up that's going to surprise you, like the whole jam saw thing, not having it.
Right. Another thing that cropped up, you know, the jam saw was one, but another thing was the wax ring for the toilet.
Right.
It came with one, but when we got ready to install it, I realized I probably need a different, you know, a little thicker one.
Right.
You know, because of the height, there's a little bit of variance.
Right.
And it was recommended that I get a thicker one. So
another trip to the hardware store.
To the store. And in fact, we bought a waxless wax ring.
Right.
And used that instead. Now, there's mixed feedback on these. A lot of plumbers will probably respond that they don't like the idea of them at all. You know,
but that's
in researching,
they haven't used them.
They don't use them because they don't need to. What makes these wonderful is that you can set the toilet and actually move it and reset it if you have to. With a wax ring, you got one shot and you're out.
Yeah.
And in my instance, it's very good that I got this waxless ring because I put it all down and I realized the bolts that were existing, the toilet bolts weren't long enough.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So if I'd have had a wax ring, it would have been shot, clean it off, redo it. How long will this one last, this waxless ring? I don't know. I'm going to just play it by ear.
Well, we're going to find out.
And find out. The reviews from homeowners were pretty good. Plumbers don't particularly like them. But I guess I'm just throwing it out there. It might be something that you might want to consider or dig into if you've got to replace a toilet, because I was really glad I had that.
Right. Little things like that are going to crop up all the time. You can't predict them. The main thing is just roll with it. Just don't let it stop you because you don't know what to do. Fix the problem and keep moving on.
Even if you're frustrated, just keep calm and keep moving on. And that's pretty much going to do it for another episode of the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show. If you'd like to check out this one or any of the past episodes, you can find them all online at RepcoLite.com. Check them out.
Right. And make sure you're following us on Facebook, because this upcoming week, Dan and I will be doing several Facebook live broadcasts from the Remodeling and New Home Show at DeVos Place. That's Friday through Sunday this upcoming week. Not this weekend, obviously, because we're here. Next weekend, that's where we'll be. We'll be sitting in our booth drawing on our little chalkboard that we'll have. So come by and see us and watch Facebook for our Facebook Live broadcast.
Right. You can get tickets online or at the door. And if you go online, you can get a $2 coupon. That's good for the Friday or the Sunday tickets,
not Saturday. Right.
We'll put a link in the show notes so you can find it.
Yep.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And help you make your toilet the appropriate height for regular adults.
Thank goodness.
Thanks for listening.